reminding you to be nice on a Friday. It's the Black Eyed Peas featuring Snoop Dogg. Taking you just the other side of Hop Past 7. Hope you're having a nice Friday. We're making it nicer with the sound of Radio Life and Style. And right now, time for a special interview, a nice interview. One that I'm excited to be having with a man who's becoming more of a regular presence on Radio Life and Style, Sandile Nkanini. He's the man behind Nkanini Projects. And if you've never caught one of his interviews before, well, we're going to be diving into the space of land development and planning and consultancy. This is the area that he is an expert in. And Sandile, welcome to Radio Life and Style Fresh on a Friday, my friend. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning, Charles.
What can you say? You're good. You're nice.
I'm good. I'm fresh. You know, it's always good. Like, Friday is always good.
We're going to make it better because hopefully we're going to shine a light on a topic that has been bubbling and brewing and getting some people hot under the collar on the Bolito property development space. I suppose the topic isn't not just a Bolito one. It's nationwide. There are often issues with a development that starts to get announced and planning is being done, and then there's pushback, there's a public outcry for one reason or another. This is something that I wanted to find out about because there has been a bit of a public hubbub around a particular planned development down in the Lower Bolito village, and this is your space. So, Mr. Nkanini from Nkanini Projects, why do some developments commonly face public opposition? Why do others just kind of sail through? And why is public participation such an important part in the planning and development process?
So, what happens is that when you're a resident of an area, and a new development is proposed in the vicinity, you ask yourself, like, how would that affect me?
For sure.
You know, as somebody who's living there, you know, you're asking those questions. So what happens is that as a property owner in that vicinity, you ask yourself, how is the noise going to affect me? How is the traffic going to affect me when you go, when you're taking kids to school in the morning, there's a traffic jam, or in the afternoon, you know, you worry about the infrastructure.
Can it handle what's coming?
Can the water there, can the pipes there, do we have the capacity to handle what's coming? Environmental concerns are also another things, you know. So as people who are residents of the area, they feel that it's obviously their area, and, you know, they form part of that fabric. And when, if maybe they feel like maybe a proposed development is going to probably compromise the fabric of the area, they have a right to put up their voices and object and say, hey, we do not actually, you know, we don't see this, how it fits into our space, you know, and then they object.
So this is then this concept of public participation. There's like the notion that the public gets to have a say, but does it mean that the public gets to decide whether a development actually goes ahead or not?
So development is not a matter of like a vote.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a matter of a vote. So in 2013, a new planning legislation was introduced in South Africa. It was a democratic legislation to guide planning. So where you saw us as South Africa move on from planning for the people, but planning with the people. So we have this legislation called SPLUMA that guides all town planning or development across the country.
Okay.
And as part of that, it stipulates that, like, when you're proposing a new development, you have to consult the public. Not to say that they get to decide, but you're now moving from planning for the people to planning with the people, so that people are aware. Maybe the development is not that bad. They just missed maybe a fine print somewhere. So if you're able to object, and then you get clarity on the things that you are concerned about, or whether it's engineering, whether it's the infrastructure, whether it's the traffic, or whatnot, you know. So that's what it is, you know.
There's a couple of terms that often crop up during this part of, you know, the public participation, and where objections get submitted. You hear terms like building height and coverage, density, building lines, these things. What do these actually mean, and how do they influence development proposals?
Yes. I think as we spoke on the last time I was here, we spoke about zonings, you know. So a zoning is like an identity of an earth, you know. So an earth is given controls, development controls. Those controls are not there to stop development, but they're there to guide blending, to be harmonious, to be controlled.
For that particular parcel of land.
For that particular parcel of land. In a residential area, if maybe you look at it's a suburb or a township from a bird's eye view, you will notice that the houses are in uniform patterns.
Yeah.
At the back, there's a certain space you have to leave. That is a side. That is the back setback. Also on the sides, there's areas that you can't develop on. Those are building lines. Okay. Now they're saying that you can't develop on the boundary, but you also develop maybe 7.5 meters from the front. Those are building lines. They guide and control development. And then you have the height. It also stipulates that you can't build so many stories. Right. If maybe I'm your neighbor and I'm building maybe a triple story house, you may be concerned and be like, hey, maybe my privacy is going to be compromised because now I'm going to be overlooking into your house. Those are the kind of things, density, coverage, FAR, those things are not there to stop development, but they're there to guide the development and control it in a way that planning development happens in a harmonious and peaceful manner.
Now, let's say you got a development on your hands, and now it's facing pushback and opposition and objection, and you're trying to navigate this. What I want to know is there a way through that story? Can a development end up benefiting an area, even if it was initially unpopular?
Definitely.
Maybe with the help of an expert such as yourself, you know, to guide that process and to find the happy middle ground.
So, development is not about making one party happy. It's not about making the developer happy. It's not about making the community happy, but it's a balancing act. You know, when the land use application is submitted to the municipality, they have to do what we call a balancing act. Look at the infrastructure, the capacity of the water, the sewer, all of those things. Look at the environmental impact of that, all of those things. Look at the traffic impact assessment. How will the traffic be impacted? So what happens is that a development which may face public opposition at first may become actually a good thing in the future. As maybe it can attract investments, you'll find that now maybe your house is going up in value because of that development, because of the value that area now is accumulating because of the development. Now you find that there's even infrastructure investment because maybe it's been earmarked that area, hey, is going to experience this kind of growth in the future. So let's beef up the infrastructure. Let's widen the roads. That's why road reserves, they exist, so that if there's a need in the future, you can just widen the road. You know, you can invest in the infrastructure because you may see that in the future, this area is going to actually be much more valuable and it's going to attract these kind of investments.
You see, but you'd be well placed to be talking early in the development and planning stage with someone like Sandile from Ganini Projects to help with the smart planning and to sort of maybe even identify issues before they become issues, before they,
exactly,
they raise alarms and get people all hot under the collar.
Yes.
So bottom line, if you're hearing this tail end of this interview, I've been in conversation with Mr. Nganini from Nganini Projects, a land development and planning consultancy focused on helping landowners,
yes,
and investors and emerging developers,
yes,
navigate the complexities of property development,
yes,
with clarity and confidence. You'll find Nganini Projects listed on Bleato Connect, the trusted online directory, bleatoconnect.co.za. Just search for Nganini, otherwise nganiniprojects.co.za. And don't be shy to reach out, to get in touch, and to strike up a conversation, because as you can tell, this is a man who knows what he's talking about and is passionate about this particular space, and we're all the better for it. Thank you, Sandile. We'll do this again, my friend.
No problem. As again, my name is Sandile Nganini. Before you buy land, after you've bought land and you need advice, you need guidance, you're not sure if what you want to build is actually viable, if you want to know how much it will cost to build what you want to build, make sure you call us.
You got it. The story from Nganini Projects. Back to the music right now on Radio Life and Style. You'll know this one from the K-pop Demon Hunters soundtrack if it's been on repeat in your household.